What's up, everybody? It's Brett Allen from the Open Mic Podcast. And first of all, I want to say thank you so much for listening and being a part of the show. The fact that you listen, that you download, and that you subscribe every single day blows my mind. And from the very bottom of my heart, I want to extend a thank you. Now, Anchor.fm, the company that supports the podcast and that hosts it, has offered a brand new way for you to support my show, the Open Mic Podcast. You can now sponsor the program monthly. There are three ways that you can do this. There are three levels: 99 cents per month, $4.99 per month, and $9.99 per month. And the cool thing is you don't even have to have the Anchor app to do it. Wherever you listen to this show, there is a link that you can go to, and it will take you to the anchor.fm/theopenmicpodcast homepage. From there, you can pick whatever level you want to support the show. It's that simple. And the cool thing is you can either do it once or you can do it reoccurring. It's totally up to you. The other thing about this that is super cool is that it's tax deductible as well. Doing a podcast can be expensive, and there are things that come up, like new equipment, new studio upgrades, new microphones, new music. All of that cost money. And I would absolutely love to partner with you on the podcast. Just head over to www.anchor.fm/theopenmicpodcast. Click the link. It's that simple. Thank you so much for listening and for your support. Cheers and be well.
It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
Thank you very much to our announcer, Stu Gray, for putting that awesome introduction together. And welcome into the show. It's good to be here with you. We are on episode 67, and we are just moving along over here in the Bay Area. It was a beautiful day today. I think I mentioned this yesterday. We are in the middle of a cold snap right now, and it's been nice during the day, and I'm hoping that summer is coming to an end soon. But just putting the finishing touches on the podcast for the weekend, drop a couple more episodes here in the next few days, and then it's off to the South Bay to spend the weekend with my son. Super excited about that. Just one step closer to preschool, and I'm thrilled. I can't wait. It's just so fun watching him grow up and just learn and all these different experiences. And it's super cool. So, anywho, we have a very special guest today. His name is Muggsy. He is an Australian hip-hop artist. And we got connected via social media a few months ago. And we've been staying in touch. And I was like, I have to have him on the show. And really, he's done so much, it's hard for me to even tell you everything that he's done, but he's done a lot of features on a lot of music. He just participated in a huge competition over in Australia, coast to coast, which is huge in the hip-hop community, and he shares that story. And just his background, how he got involved in music, how he writes his music, some of his influences, and just a lot of great things. He was fantastic to chat with, and he's huge over in Australia, and I have no doubt that he's going to be huge here in the States very soon. Bright things for this young man. He's only 27 and he's already done so much. So we're going to take a quick spot break here from our sponsors audible.com, and we'll play that interview with Muggsy here right after this. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/theopenmicpodcast and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening today. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/theopenmicpodcast. Well, welcome back into the Open Mic Podcast, where no subject is off limits. And I have a very special guest today, another one. Every guest I have is special, and I'm excited about this one. His name is Muggsy, and he is a DJ. But the cool thing about this is that he is all the way over in Australia. So it's about 8:20 p.m. here in California, and it's about 1:20 in the afternoon over there, which is completely crazy. But this guy has done just about everything. He's huge He's got amazing music, and I've had the chance to listen to a lot of it, and I'm super excited to chat with him. So welcome into the podcast, Muggsy. It's good to have you.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah, appreciate you having me on the show, and I'm stoked that you said you're from San Francisco, man. Obviously, being a, you know, a Will Smith and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fan, man. And crazy enough, like, I got a friend who's exactly like Carlton, so I guess I'm like the Will and he's like the Carlton, man. And except, like, and he can't dance either, so I always got to teach him some dance moves.
Nice. Thanks
for having me on the show, man. I look forward to, like, just talking hip-hop and just the stereotype of Australia probably as well.
Nice. So you're in Australia, which is obvious. And let's talk a little bit about your background and how you got into hip hop music and being a DJ and that sort of thing. How did that all start out for you?
Yeah, so I'm 27 at the moment, and I started hip hop music, man, when I was like roughly 14, early 15, so the early 2000s kind of era. And in high school, man, before I came into the culture, I was sort of that outsider kid. I didn't really have an identity to myself. Like, I didn't know who I was and all that. And I guess that sort of gave an aspect for the other teenagers to, like, you know, sort of punk and bully in a sense. And it was just a dark time, man. Like, I remember just, you know, going to school hating it, and my grades were failing and just everything. And, you know, you have your peers around you, they're just like, what are you going to do with your life and all this? And that's why I can sort of relate to the teenagers now that are going through that depression in a sense, man, because it's sort of like at that adolescence mindset, you can't think into the future of this is all a passing thing. You can't think in the now, and that's why you have suicide and all these young teenagers ending it, because I was in that same downward spiral. And I came into contact with, like, I always say, man, the early 2000s era of hip-hop was like the best era, like the pinnacle of the marketing. Like, I remember going home and, like, watching MTV, BET, and just seeing these guys like Eminem and 50 Cent and Dr. Dre, like, just being, like, these godlike mentalities, walking to, like, any neighborhood, any room, like, any situation, and they just had this raw element about them that would, you know, nothing could bring them down, and it would just be the way they looked, their expression in their lyrics, just this craft, this art form. And I was like, I want to be like that. Like, I want to be like those guys and not be that scared kid anymore. And so at first I started mimicking, you know, what Eminem did, of course, but then I started researching, like, more about the culture. Like, I'd see these guys, like, when I'd, like, pick up like a biography, or I'd watch like a documentary or something, I'd see the guys from my era, but then I'd see these, like, black and white photos, or these, you know, photos in the 80s, like Run DMC or KRS-One or DJ Kool Herc, and I'd be like, yo, like, who are these guys? You know, I've never seen these guys before. And I'd realize there was so much more of a culture before my time, you know. And, like, a lot of them would say that this craft was built on authenticity and uniqueness. You can't follow someone else's footsteps, you sort of have to make your own. And that's where I sort of dropped the whole, you know, trying to rhyme and like incorporate my persona like Eminem and find my own. So I started dropping down rhymes, like, you know, like about my struggles of depression and overcoming that and stuff. And the rest is history, man. From 14 till now, I've done incredible opportunities, like jumped into, you know, done 2 albums, jumped into the acting game, the youth work game, all different types, man, you know, met all tons of people. And a lot of people honestly assume, man, that I've got like a manager or a label behind me, but nah, man, I've just been a one-man army from day one, and it's just the hustle and the drive to push myself out there as much as I can. And yeah, that's it. Mm.
Especially if you have a dream to do something like that and you want to do it, not everybody gets signed by an artist label or a record label or a manager, and I imagine that's probably a challenge. Do you have the desire to get signed by someone like that at some point, or are you perfectly content just continuing to grind and make music the way that you do?
I think there's two sides of the coin of that, man. One, we always have the backlash of, you know, the labels want you to sound like, you know, how they want you to sound and stuff. But in saying that, I think that there's a limit. Like, you can sort of, I wouldn't say go to the ones that are going to turn you into something you're not, but there's a lot of independent artists that, you know, do not make a living off their craft. Like, they got to, you know, bust in the 9 to 5 just to fund it, compared to, like, if you do sign by a label, you do have the royalties, which you have to owe back to them, but it could be a better platform than, you know, where you are. So, to answer your question, man, I feel that I wouldn't want to be, you know, from how hard I've worked and how respected I am in the hip hop community, I wouldn't want to be turned into, like, you know, like a little pump or something like that. But in saying that, I wouldn't want to, you know, bust myself, like, what I'm doing now, like, you know, in a 9 to 5 while finding my music on the side, man. You know, like, every rapper or every creative person's dream is to make that living of that dream to come true, man. So it's a hard question, like, whether, you know, you want to jump into being a, like, you know, a fake persona, or you want to live your dream of the real thing, because that also comes under the context, man, of what hip-hop is today, man, of, like, this, what it's turned into, man. You know, like, it's not about the bars and the lyrics and the concept anymore. So if you do go to a label, they're like, hey, you got to do what this mumble rap or this kind of thing, and to the real hip-hop community, it's like, well, you're kind of killing our culture just for the money. So why don't you bring like real artists into the game like it once was, if that makes sense, man. So, yeah, hopefully that answered your question, man. I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So do you feel like the culture today in hip-hop is a lot different than it was even maybe 5 years ago?
Yeah, like, I'm 27, man, but I guess I sound like, you know, an old cat in a sense, man. Like, I'm probably one of those ones like, oh, why doesn't it be like my generation, or, you know, the kids don't know. But like, you know, when I was their age, man, and, you know, bumping, you know, Eminem and Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style, and had the parental advisory on it, like, the parents would, like, lose their heads, man. You know, the Chronic and stuff, man. But I feel there was substance, man. Like, there was, like, literally, you know, stories, wordplay, bar for bar. Like, or even if they weren't famous, like, if you went into a cypher, man, you would have to come with your craft. You couldn't just go in and start, like, literally mumbling, man. Like, you know, and I feel that I fight for, I think that's a problem with, you know, today's hip-hop, man, because, like, I look at it as a standpoint of, man, if you've made it your own genre, that's cool, just make it your own genre, man. But because they're labeling it like rap and they're hip-hop, I sort of become a bit negative with it, man, because there is hard-working artists out there that take the time to dedicate themselves to their craft, that love the culture, and just, like, have these banging songs that could, like, just, like, that you can bob your head to, but also, like, that have a story to tell, but they don't get the recognition because of what is, you know, portrayed, like, nowadays, man. And I feel that, you know, because of this social media, a lot of the kids are waiting for the now. Like, it's just like, oh, it's like, oh, this is hot now, and then a few months later, oh, this is hot now, and there's no longevity anymore. Like, you put in a Prince album, man, like, that's a left field of a different genre, but, like, you put Prince on in 10 years' time, it's still a great. You put, like, Lil Pump on, like, 10 years, everyone's gonna be like, this is awful, man. Like, I feel that there's no longevity in the game anymore. It's just what's hot now, leave it, and, like, you know, it's like the next hit. It's the next hit, and there's no real following, you know, if that makes sense, man. That's just me.
It really does, and I appreciate your opinions and perspectives on that. So what is the hip-hop culture like in Australia? Is it the same as it is would be in the States, as far as these are the big top five, or is it more welcoming to younger aspiring artists who want to put their music out? Is it easier to break in the game over there?
Nah. The rock and roll scene, man, is enormous over here. So, like, we've had a lot of great acts come out, like AC/DC, Midnight Oil, INXS, you know, all that kind of stuff. But with the hip hop culture, it's a hard one to crack, man, because I feel that hip hop is such an Americanized genre, man. Obviously, it was built in, you know, 73 of the South Bronx. So when it comes to, like, Australia sort of doing it, I guess people have the sense of, like, you know, the whole Crocodile Dundee aspect, man, where it's like, oh, they're wrestling crocodiles and all that kind of thing. So is that what they're rapping about? And I guess, in a sense, that movie did put a good element onto our name as Australia, but when it comes to hip hop, man, I guess it's kind of a bit of a burden in a sense, man, because it's like we do have like good talent over here, man, but when we sort of push it out, it's like, what are you used, you know, putting Vegemite on your toast and stuff in your lyrics and stuff. So I'm like, nah, man, we're not like that at all. But yeah, like we in speaking of the culture wise, man, we love it. You know, for example, when we're off air, we're talking about Coast to Coast when they came over here trying to look for the next big thing. And when we just hear something about the culture, man, whether it be in news or this hot artist or I don't know, like for example, Wu-Tang Clan is coming in December. Like, literally, my brother's just bombarded me saying, we got to get tickets because they're going to sell out. We just love this culture, man. Like, yeah, there's a lot of rappers over here, man, but not enough to want to pursue it, man. It's more a hobby to them than actually.
Let's talk about Coast to Coast. Yeah. And what was that all about that you were a part of last night? Why don't you share that with our audience?
Yeah, that was like, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, man, because to the, you know, the hip hop community and anyone that's listening, Coast to Coast mixtapes are like huge in like the entertainment industry and stuff. They always host mixtapes with big artists, or you know, over in the States, they always hold these massive concert tours and stuff. And they were doing this worldwide annual event, trying to look for the next big artist to showcase their skills and stuff in the massive conference. I think that's in January next year in Miami. So it's like winter trip to Miami and all this. They came over here and it was 30 contestants, and to get onto the bill, you had to submit your song on their online site, and then if they liked it, if they approved of your song, there you'd get an email saying congratulations, you're performing at, you know, the annual event, which was last night. So a few weeks ago, I submitted my song and I was like, I'll just put it on, knowing how big this conference is. I'm probably not even gonna get recognized, who knows, you know, maybe I will, maybe I won't, but just put it in for the sake of it. And then got an email saying congratulations, Muggsy, you got in, you know, show up at this time, and you know, for sound checks and da 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 da, and rocked up, and there was like 30 contestants, and the venue was just packed out, and I was just like, all right, like, you know, this is a time to like really, like Eminem says, you know, one shot, you got to prove yourself, sort of thing. And I was just like, please, like, don't be like the first one up on stage. Like, I just like, I'm a developed artist, man, but I still have that factor of like, I hate being the first one up on stage, because you really have to like push yourself more further than the others, because like the first one always up is the one that can easily make it or break it, kind of thing. Like, make the crowd just like jump, or like break the crowd and say, oh, get the F off the stage, you know, like that. Where when the host called my name, he's like, yo, Moxie, like, coming to the stage. I was just like, oh, fuck, like that, you know. All right, so I walked up, you know, and yeah, I performed my track, My Journey, which is the 20th track on my album, Understand Me. And like afterwards, man, like just nonstop, just slapping hands and saying, dude, like, so many people just coming up saying, man, like, that's what we need in hip hop again. We need like that, something we can like bang our heads to and stuff, but also keep that lyrics and that story and that art develop in there. Like, you really brought it home. Like, you know, you didn't front or nothing. Like, you actually got up there and just like ripped the crowd, man. Like, a lot of people that get up first can't do that, you know. They always get like, you know, start like not stage shock and stuff. So yeah, it was a great night, man. Obviously, I didn't get into the top five, but I wasn't that mad about it, man. I was just so stoked that like my name got picked at a Coast to Coast like event, man. Like, that's something I can put on my achievement list, and something that I can tell, like, you know, in my career to people, that I've literally performed for Coast to Coast. So, you know, that's just such a big thing in the hip hop community. So I'm happy about that, man. Yeah.
Well, that's definitely a huge achievement to have made it that far. And with those types of things, you just never know what kind of exposure you're going to get, you know. And that's awesome. You've done probably a lot more than most have at your age. And you're young. You know, I'm 44. So I think you're doing amazing. And I feel like, you know, just talking to you and listening to your music, that the sky's the limit for you. And you just keep plugging along and rocking it. So I wanted to ask you, like, as far as influences now, or if you could have like a dream collaboration or produce something with somebody, who would you pick and why?
Oh man, honestly, I get that question a lot. Like even down at the Coast Coast gig last night, they're like, who would you collab with? And it's like, and I'm just like, if it's anyone, honestly, I would love to collaborate, if you're still like Prince, of course. I reckon like we could make some jazzy sort of hip-hop funk, but he's gone, rest in peace to him. Yeah, at the top of my head, man, it sounds so random, but like I've really got into their music is Shaggy Too Dope from Insane Clown Posse, man. Like that guy, you know, when I was growing up, man, they had beef with Eminem back in I think 99 to early thousands, man. And a lot of people like, who are these clown face wearing people, you know, like get out of hip hop. And I was kind of on the bandwagon as well, like, yeah, F those clowns, you know. And then like when I'm like more older, I saw what they were doing for like the Juggalo community, and like they're really their causes of helping that those outsider people, and they just were real good hearted people, man. And I started really getting into their music, and I feel like Shaggy is my kind of guardian angel in a sense, man. Like I feel like his persona is very like much like mine in a sense, man. So if I ever get to meet him, that'll be dope. So yeah, like he'd be probably one of my ones I'd love to collaborate with and just have a beer with and just like cause mischief, man. So if he's ever watching this, or who knows if this gets out to him, yeah, hit me up, man. It'll be pretty dope to hear from you.
Nice. So what projects are you working on right now? Do you have any new music coming out anytime soon?
Yeah, I've got two projects at the moment, man. One is a mini documentary that Sydney Film School is doing on me to submit to the film festivals at the end of the year, which was pretty crazy, man, because the director, Faraz, he found my Facebook page. I think it was, how did he find it? I'm trying to remember how the first message. Yeah, he said he was trying to look for like a sort of hip hop community kind of based thing, and he was going through a ton of artists and that, and like not were really fitting the bill. And then he just randomly came across mine, and he just saw everything that I've done and just what I was doing, you know, my own career. And he hit me up and he said, hey, I work for Sydney Film School, which is like one of the biggest here in New South Wales. Can we, you know, do a sort of day in the life documentary on you? And I was like, hey, what's going on here? Yeah, sure, okay. And then, you know, went out for coffee with him and we planned the whole thing. And they've been here for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks now, just filming like interviews and little location spots. And it kind of freaked out my neighbors and stuff, because my neighbors don't know that I do music, because I'm so busy all the time. I never get to say hi to him and that. So when all the camera crews and stuff came, they're like, you know, what's going on here? You know, that's crazy. And yeah, so they got to edit it all up, and I hear back from them in late November, December to, you know, organize the film festivals for here in Australia. So that's pretty big. And my third album, of course, as well, for because it's been since 2013. Since my second album dropped, and you know, I really got to release something. All I can tell fans is it's going to be a 2-disc, and yeah, like I've never done a 2-disc before. I know that some hip hop artists have, like Biggie, Tupac, Outkast. I could label a whole bunch, but hopefully Muggsy can do like a 2-disc as well and release it out to the public for sure.
So, where did you come up with the name Muggsy? I have to ask.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So you know, when it's very hard for artists to you know, come up with hip-hop names without like something that can literally stick to a market and stuff. And I'm a huge NBA supporter, man. Like I love the, you know, I love the sport, and I'm pretty nasty on the court as well, man. Besides music, I like to hit the courts, and one of my my boys, yeah, one of my boys was like, yo, you've got this sort of cadence about you, like Muggsy Bogues, you know, like he used to be in Jordan's era, man. And it's funny because I'm not that short, man. Like he was a short guy, but I'm very tall. And he spelt it, I think it was Muggsie. And I didn't like the way it was spelled, but I liked the ring of it. And I was just like, you know, that kind of clicks. Yeah, I'll go with that. And being an NBA supporter as well, like I love just like how he acknowledged that. And my friend, and I dropped it to one G and flipped the S to a Z, and it just ringed ever since, man. But the funny thing about it was I was sort of a supporter of Muggsy, but I've always been a Allen Iverson supporter, man. And so, you know, I really wish he would have picked up and called me AI or something so I could have cloned Allen Iverson, man. But yeah, I'll just go with Muggsy instead, man. So if I ever get to meet Muggsy Bogues, if he comes here to Australia for a meet and greet tour, I'll be like, you're the dude that, you know, set my whole career, because you're the entitlement of my name. Just hopefully he doesn't ask for a royalty check or something, man.
So when you're not doing music, what do you do in your spare time? Are you married? Do you have kids? Or are you just living life? What do you do?
Nah, man, nah. I'm single as a Pringle, man. No kids, no nothing, man. I just besides music, because I'm always working with it. I just love, man, hanging out with my friends, love basketball, family is everything, man. So I see them every now and then, and honestly, man, the number one thing that I do besides music, man, is, yeah, just hitting the courts and playing basketball, man, like setting up games and stuff, like, just, you know, that's my daily exercise. So I guess you can say that it sounds a little boring in a sense, man, but just like hip-hop and basketball are my number one and two things, man. So that's what I do outside of it, man.
Very nice. Well, it's obviously you're passionate about it, and that's what's important. So if people want to find your music, if they want to check out what you've done, where can they go to find that, Muggsy?
Yeah, man. So, like, my number one platform that I use is on Facebook. So if you just type in Muggsy, Muggzy, but to worldwide viewers, to Australian viewers, sorry, that's Muggzy, but to worldwide, that's Muggzy. It's got my YouTube band profile to check out music updates, Twitter, just, like, everything, you know, all attached into one is on that page. Saves you searching it individually. And, yeah, like, if you're an upcoming artist or you know, a fan or whatever the case may be, hit up my inbox. I try and get back to as many people possible. But if you're an upcoming artist and, you know, you want me to check out your craft or whatever the case may be, hit me up and I'll be happy to do that as well and give you a share and stuff as well. So check out my Facebook page at Muggsy on Facebook.
Well, thank you for being a part of the podcast, Muggsy. I really appreciate it. It was great to have you on and just talk about hip hop and the culture and your influences. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, and I wish you all the best, man, with, you know, future people that come onto the show and, like, future episodes. And, hey, man, you have another supporter here in Australia and tapping in from the future as well, man. So thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have been chatting with hip hop artist Muggsy out of Australia. Big things coming from him. For sure, no doubt about it. Be sure and check out his music and his social links. Those will all be available in the podcast show notes. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll give you an opportunity to find out how you can support the podcast and how you can listen and where you can subscribe. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media, Instagram at Open Mic Podcast, Twitter at Brett Mon, and of course Facebook, The Open Mic Podcast. And once again, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Goliath Games. Be sure to visit them at www.goliathgames.us. Make it a game day every day. Well, thank you so much to Muggsy for being a part of the show. So great to talk to that guy, man. I am just excited to see what the future looks like for him. And again, he's blowing up in Australia, and he's going to blow up here in the States soon. I'm pretty confident of that. Well, that wraps everything up for today. Thanks for joining. Until next time, let somebody know that you love them. Let them know that you care, and we'll talk to you soon.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.